Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
Welcome, everybody, to your freshly delivered Owl Post. I am just one of the hosts here, and with me, as she is always, is the wonderful, brilliant, talented Drea Kaufman.
Hello!
I didn't even tell what people what my name is. I totally forgot. I was so busy, like, getting to you and your awesomeness that I was like, I forgot to say, hey, I'm Matt.
Yay. This is Matthew. This is Matthew Rushing, yeah. Everyone.
Yep. My name is Matthew Rushing. I'm a Harry Potter holic.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Drea. And it's not going to end anytime soon, but
this book is going to end.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. You knew exactly what I was going to say. I'm so excited. This is fantastic. I cannot wait to talk about this last chapter. It's a really fun chapter after a, heavy few chapters we've been talking about with everything wrapping up. And this one just wraps up so wonderfully and, yeah, kind of sweet. So before we dive into that, though, of course, you can find us everywhere. Apple Podcasts is a great way to get our podcasts, or anywhere else, whatever podcatcher you want to use, you can find us. If you're in Apple Podcasts, though, or in iTunes, hit us up with a star rating and review. Really helps us out, helps the show. We've got the brand new Redbubble store. Go to thenerdparty.com. Click store. You can find all the merch we have for all the different shows. You can get some sweet swag from Owl Posts and then let everybody know about the show while you do. So make sure you check it out.
You can literally get an Owl Post.
Yes, you can. You can get postcards that have the Owl Post logo on them. So there you go. You can find us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdparty. And if you'd like to send us an email, you can go over to thenerdparty.com/contact and choose Owl Post, and that will come to Drea and I. Or you could just send us some actual Owl Post. I mean, I would be okay with getting that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just make sure you use the wax stamp on the back, or else it's not
official. Yeah, put a seal.
Yeah, I want a seal. No, not like a baby seal. Like, just, So.
You want a seal on the back of your letter.
Exactly. Yes, yes. So we're here at the very last chapter of the Chamber of Secrets, chapter 18, Dobby's Reward. And man, what a great chapter. And I love the way in which the chapter opens. They walk into the office and everybody's there. And Mrs. Weasley just bursts out, Ginny! And Dumbledore's just standing by the mantelpiece, beaming at everyone. And, everybody's getting hugs. And Fox is, swooping over to Dumbledore's shoulder. And it's just, this beautiful moment of reunion of everybody being happy, here at the end. And it really is great. I kind of wish that this had been what the end was like in the movie.
It's much more satisfying than just Harry, because I believe in the movie it's another one where Harry just wakes up in the infirmary and talking to Dumbledore. He's in Dumbledore's office or something like that. Very, very, not quite as satisfying as this one, unfortunately.
Well, and I also like how everybody's like, how did you do it? How did you save Ginny? And that Harry is telling the story, and it takes him a half an hour to tell this story, and he's not even done because they just get to the Chamber of Secrets and McGonagall bursts in so you found the entrance and breaking 100 school rules along the way. And it was just so Hermione when she said that. It was awesome.
You're just like, is that what you're taking away from this? Okay.
Yeah, it is awesome. It is awesome. But that I love, she's like, so how on earth did you get out alive, Potter? she's so much his grandmother, really. That grandmother type where she's so proud of him and so pissed at him all at the same time.
Well, rightfully so. I mean, it was dangerous what he did.
It was the right thing to do, but it was dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. Totally dangerous. But I love her. This is one of the chapter, and I think this is the book that really kind of cements my love for McGonagall as a character. And I think it's not enough in the movie where you really get her care and love for Harry, Ron, and Hermione, but really Harry. And that this is somebody that she's taken kind of a special interest in. But at the same time, how much she really does care about her students. Like, this is her life, you know? And we learn, and this is not really a huge spoiler, she had put out 3 ebooks that talk about the different things she's written about the characters. And one of the things we know about McGonagall is that she was married before and her husband died. And so this is her life. She has chosen this life to pour back into students all the knowledge that she has. And she had a wonderful life. She had a wonderful marriage. But with that happening, this has become her life. And I just, you can really sense that, I feel like, in this chapter, that this is so important to her, you know, passing on to the next generation. And she really does love these kids, even if she is kind of the stern grandmother type sometimes.
It's a great scene. I like how slowly, step by step, too, they sort of peel off people from this room, right? Like, oh, why don't, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Weasley, why don't you get, you know, Ginny up to the infirmary? And like, oh, McGonagall, why don't you go to the kitchen staff and have them start a feast? Oh, Ron, and why don't you take Lockhart up to the infirmary too, you know? He just slowly peels them off one by one so he can talk to Harry alone.
I also really like, you know, before that happens, though, he's not quite finished with the story, and he... Yeah. The way he protects Ginny, his thought process is, how do I tell this story without making this Ginny's fault in any way? Like, that's what he's thinking. And what I also like about it is that it's Ginny who comes in to fill in that part of the story, to offer what happened when they start talking about the diary. And
it's Dumbledore who sort of opens the door for him to, like, yes, share, knowing, you know, Ginny's not going to get in trouble, because he can tell that that's what he's worried about. So,
and it's one of those, I think, those things where you can see how Dumbledore understands what Harry's worried about and gives him the comfort to be okay with continuing to tell the story, that you are in a safe place right now. You're not going to be judged by what you tell us, and neither is anybody else in this room, especially when we know that it is Lord Voldemort who is behind all of this, and therefore Ginny can't be really responsible for her actions. Right. And, you know, I think that's something that I really liked about this chapter as well, is the way in which Dumbledore takes care of his students.
Yeah.
And even though sometimes you get the feeling like Dumbledore can be a bit aloof, here I felt like you feel his heart. And it's a really, I don't know, I kind of get a little emotional about it. It's just kind of a beautiful thing to see how much these professors care about their students. First McGonagall and now Dumbledore. And you feel this real sense of family almost between, like, the Weasleys and who they are, and the people that, you know, McGonagall and Dumbledore are. And that's also something that's going to be clear by the end of this chapter as well, how Dumbledore's not just looking out for his school, but he also is looking out for Arthur Weasley.
Yeah.
He's looking
out for the whole family.
Yeah. So I think that's just a really beautiful thing. I love how Mr. Weasley, you know, you don't get a lot of Mr. Weasley a lot of the time, but he gets so mad at Ginny, like a dad would, you know, like, how many times have I told you not to trust something where you can't see where its brain is? Like, don't trust anything that can think for itself and you don't know where its brain is. And of course that just causes her to sob some more, and Dumbledore's like, There will be absolutely no punishment for her. People who are a lot wiser and older wizards have been hoodwinked by Voldemort. In fact, what she probably needs is just a big steaming mug of hot chocolate. And like, it's just, it's like, what I like in this chapter is I mentioned, you know, McGonagall being a lot like a grandmother. Here, you really get that kind of grandfatherly feeling from Dumbledore. And it's just kind of, it feels warm, you know, like in the, everything feels safe at this point. And that's a good feeling to feel after everything you've been through in the book.
He's still sort of treating them with kid gloves a little bit, right? Oh, it's traumatic. Let's not lay into her about that. Let's just get her a nice warm cup of cocoa and it's fine. You know, he's still sort of, I don't know, talking about that, you know, handling them, if you will, knowing they're still kids, which I think is interesting. And it's kind of a transition. We'll see. He still cares, but it becomes a different, starts holding them to different expectations. You know, he holds Ginny and Harry to different expectations just based on their age and stuff like that. So I thought it was interesting.
He is absolutely right. Like, she's 11.
Yeah.
And she got hoodwinked by a wizard who's been doing that to people who are much wiser, much older, and much smarter than she is. And so we can't. And I think
for that.
Yeah, absolutely. The way that he says it too, I think, is really beautiful because it starts that process for Hermione to be able to heal. Because, you know, it reminds me of that scene in, and this is a funny thing to reference, but Good Will Hunting, the pivotal scene where he's like, it's not your fault. You know, and they just say that over and over, it's not your fault. And that's what Ginny needs to hear here, because it's true, it's not her fault. She didn't know, and there was really no way for her to know. And by the time she did, it was way too late.
Right.
And so I love that. And I also really like Ron being like, hearing about the mandrake juice, and he's like, is Hermione okay?
I thought that was so cute. I did think that was really cute.
Yeah. I think there might be something there.
Huh, you think?
I feel like a song is coming on. There's something sweet. And almost kind.
Is she just always Belle?
Exactly. Oh man, I did not like that version of that movie, but that is a whole other podcast. So,
but I gotta say, I think it's really interesting that when we do get Dumbledore and Harry alone, that he sort of expresses some of the things he's been worried about lately. That he sort of was afraid to say before, you know, like, hey, we're really similar. Hey, I was supposed to go in Slytherin. Like, a lot of the stuff that's sort of been worrying him for the last, like, couple years, he kind of finally feels ready to, like, just be out with it.
And I think, you know, I honestly think that the reason that he feels like that is because of what Dumbledore does right before that, which is he says, I kind of remember saying that if you guys broke any more rules, I was going to have to expel you.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that means that even the wisest of us can have to eat their words. So I guess we're going to have to give you special awards and 200 points apiece for Gryffindor. Like, he sets the stage for making Harry utterly comfortable with where he stands now. And I think that it's at that moment where he can kind of emotionally throw up all of the things that have really been bothering him that he has been scared to say. Because wouldn't you be kind of scared to say that you thought yourself a little bit too much like Voldemort and you're worried that maybe you could be him one day? Like, that is a truly terrifying thought.
And I think he needed Harry to share. Like, he needed to know where he was. He needed to know how he felt. He needed to know what he was thinking. I think he knew that in the moment he needed to get Harry to open up.
And this is the thing that becomes the key to this whole series. And I think just Harry Potter as a character in general, when he's explaining about how he asked the hat to put him in Gryffindor, and Dumbledore's like, exactly. See, it's your choices that show you who you truly are for far more than your abilities.
Right.
And I absolutely just love that statement, because what Dumbledore is saying is so true. We're all given amazing abilities. You know, each one of us has abilities that make us different than other people. But in the end, still, what we do and what we choose to do with our lives and our actions is what defines who we will be and are. Because it's the only way that we can truly judge who we are in the end. And I really like that he gets to that. Like, it's a choice. And it's about what you do. And that's such a beautiful thing. And we can totally see the difference between Harry and Voldemort right now, at least.
And it's very glaringly obvious here what they've chosen to do and the differences they've chosen to make. It's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I found myself getting a little... I don't know. I get a little choked up at this point in the book. It really is a great reminder. It does kind of make one look at their own life and you're like, okay, am I making the right choices, you know? And what does that, when I look at those choices, like, what does that make me? And that's not something that we all want to do very often, because we don't really usually like the answer. But I really like that this is something that Rowling is very intent on giving to any generation that reads this story, because I think this is a lesson that's just so key. And it's really beautiful. So she does it so well, and it's one of the things I love about her books the most. So
that's a good touching moment without being, like, overly touchy. You don't get this, like, aww. It's just the right thing at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is something that's really interesting, too, because I love that this is so much more extended than the movie when Lucius comes in. And the conversation they have...
That guy.
...comes back to some politics that aren't in the movie. Because not only did he threaten the other ministers of the school, all other 11... if they didn't agree to suspend Dumbledore in the first place. But his actions here the whole time have actually been a way to discredit Arthur Weasley in the first place and his Muggle Protection Act. This is something that, like, is totally lost in the movie, but paramount importance here.
I think it was so interesting that it's even more political than it is in the movie. Like, so much.
Yeah, absolutely 100% agree with you. And, you know, the whole idea that Lucius had put the diary in Ginny's bin when he took out the other book and slipped this in, so that the hope was that her being responsible for the killing of Muggles would discount Arthur Weasley's desire for the Muggle Protection Act. Like, what a just nasty, awful plan to use this little girl in this way. And, of course, unleash possibly Lord Voldemort on people again. The diabolicalness of it. And you see just how bad Lucius Malfoy is in the family that his son comes from. And you're just like, man, I hate this family.
But unlike in the movie, so in the movie you get the, you know, the end scene with Lucius and Dobby and whatever, he storms off. In this case, he loses a lot more in this book than he does in the movie. He is stripped of his title as governor. Malfoy or Draco is no longer, like, walking around all high and mighty. You know, Dumbledore basically tells Lucius that he's going to sic Arthur Weasley on him if he sees something like this again. He loses Dobby. But Dobby also, like, throws him down some stairs.
Yes, yes. Which I really like that whole part of this so much more than the movie, because Harry has this great idea and it's his quick thinking. He's like, can I give that diary back to Lucius? And he's like, Dumbledore's like, sure. So he grabs his sock. He takes it off. He puts the diary inside of it, which is so much better than the movie.
Yeah.
And gives it to Malfoy. And Lucius rips the sock off and throws it at Dobby. And before he knows it, he's lost his, you know, slave. And I love that, you know, of course, Dobby comes to his rescue. And it's just so beautiful. The way he's like, you shall not harm Harry Potter. You know, it's just so perfect. And, I think, you know, Harry's not too sad, though, when Dobby leaves. Because it means he won't be trying to save him anymore.
I know. I did like that he kept saying over and over again, like, Dobby is free, like over and over again. It was just nice. Like, he's seriously coping like with all this. It was really, I really liked it.
Dobby is free. Yes, I love it. Oh, so good. And I like that before they had sent everybody away, they were already planning, because Dumbledore has a brilliant idea. We should have a feast in the middle of the night. And
you should always have a feast. There is always a reason for a feast. If I have one piece of advice for everyone out there, don't be a Voldemort and always have a feast.
Absolutely. And so they have a wonderful feast, and the kids get to spend the rest of the term before summer comes hanging out together. They don't have any Defense Against the Dark Art classes. They don't have any exams. They're just enjoying themselves. And once they get on the Hogwarts Express home, they're finally like, Ginny, what was Percy doing? And she's like, oh, he has a girlfriend.
I love that. And it was the one who was petrified, and he was so shook up at the beginning of all of this when Hermione gets petrified as well. Like, it's, you know, and it's no wonder that he was so distraught.
Yeah. And I mean, who wouldn't be if their girlfriend was petrified and they thought they might never see them again? I absolutely love the way the books ends, and that Hermione's like, won't your aunt and uncle be proud of you? And Harry's like, proud? Are you mad? At the times I could have died and I didn't manage it? They'll be furious.
I love that ending, and it's so true. Like, it's hilarious. Wait, I had the chance to die on several occasions and I did not. So, no, they're not going to be proud.
Oh, it was so good. It's a really great book, and I'm kind of wondering for you with the reread, how do you feel about the Chamber of Secrets as a whole now that we've gone through the entire reread of it?
So I need to watch the movie again. That's something I really want to do. It's not one of my favorite movies, partially because I really hate snakes. I don't know if anyone's caught that over the last, you know, 4 or 5 episodes here, but I don't really like snakes. I'd really like to rewatch the movie again and see. I liked the book a lot more than I remember liking it. It was one of my lesser favorite of the Harry Potter series before, but I really enjoyed it, and I really liked some of the plot elements, and I liked that there's definitely more, I guess, adult things in the book than there are in the movie. We get a lot more politics and larger play on things. Then we get the movie really only does just focus on Harry and Ron and Hermione, which, I mean, you had to do something, so I get it. But yeah, I mean, I think I enjoyed it more than I did the last time I read it. But it's also probably been forever since I read it last, so don't hold me to that. But I really enjoyed it, and I'm excited to go to the third.
Yeah, I think that this is, especially in the reread, I just feel like this is a really solid book. She does so much here. And honestly, the other thing that makes this so important is just it's standing in the series and what is added here and what will have an impact. There's a lot of huge things in this book that have an impact later on. And I think that's one of the things that really, you know, ever since what happened in the last book, The Deathly Hallows, and what we learn there, this book has risen in my esteem because it just had, there's so many important elements to the story that play on later. And I, you know, it's one of those things where, like, when you reread these books I'm reminded of just how good of a writer she is. And even if it's not my absolute favorite in the series, it's still just so good. You know, there's really not much to complain about. And so, it's fun. I love that we finished this one, and I'm really excited because my favorite Harry Potter book is The Prisoner of Azkaban, and that's what we get to talk about next time.
I am excited.
Well, if people want to share their excitement with you, Drea, where can they find you online?
Yeah, so if you want to talk to me about how vindicated and how much you also enjoy the karma that the Malfoys got at the end of this book, or anything else about Harry Potter or any of these books, you can find me on Twitter at PCFChick or on Instagram at Drea Kaufman, and it's COFFMAN.
And you can find me on Twitter at MattRushing02, and I'm on Instagram under the same name. You can also find me here on the network with John Mills talking about Star Wars on Aggressive Negotiations. Check it out. It's so much fun. I think you'll love it as we just dive into a fun Star Wars topic each week, just like two old friends would. You can also find me on the Trek FM network talking with Chris Jones about Star Trek Deep Space Nine on The Orb. And I'm also doing the 602 Club, which is the General Geek Show. And we talk about every fandom we can, from Harry Potter to Bond to Star Wars to DC, Marvel, everything that we can throw in between. Make sure you check it out. And then there's one more show that I do, and that's called Cinema Stories, and we're talking all about different films through the lens of faith. And you can find all of those on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for checking your Owlpost.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.